Today on Trends and Products, we're joined by our resident expert on all things financial, Alan Kohler, host of ABC's Inside Business and founder of the Eureka Report. Today, a look at the ever-changing world and the shifting trends of finance and design. Alan, welcome.
Thanks very much.
We're talking on the day after the budget, not a political event high on the design calendar, but nonetheless, those decisions made do affect design. They affect the financing of our lives, our houses and our investments.
Well, of course, and they certainly do, and because people tend to spend what they can borrow, and that's certainly what's occurred over the last few decades, as the ability to borrow more has increased, both through the propensity of banks to lend, and also the competition from the banks, sort of rising loan-to-value ratio as they competed with each other and where they were prepared to lend as much as 100% of the value. Everyone's capacity to borrow rose, and so naturally enough, they went about spending it.
Property is the great investment heaven for Australians. Property is designed, and the things we put into our property are designed, the furniture, the plumbing, the painting, the adornments. So this continues as the Australian nirvana. I mean, property has no real competitors at the moment.
Well, not for a lot of people. That's certainly the case. I mean, bricks and mortar is what it's all about, and they love to be able to walk through their investments, and obviously there's also a tax advantage to property, in particular your own home, which is capital gains tax free in Australia. A lot of rational economists, say that's a bad idea, and that it distorts financial flows into housing in such a way that it results in Australia's housing affordability being, you know, worse than many countries. And that's kind of what has occurred. But nevertheless, politically, it's never going to change. So the tax system is kind of weighted towards investing in property.
What is changing, though, is that many Australians now own more than one property.
Oh, that's for sure. And that's, you know, that's partly a function of the fact that the banks were throwing money at them. You know, there's been this growth in mortgage brokers, who were incentivized by commissions to encourage people to borrow. And so there has been a tremendous a flow of supply of lending to people. And when they've paid off their own house, or they've, even if they haven't paid off their own house, some of the mortgage broker says, well, look, you've got one house, that's nowhere near enough houses. You can't just get by on one house, you have to have two. And so that's certainly what's occurred.
Let's look at how this is more and more embedding itself into our lives. The cost of property, as you say, is very high. So I was intrigued to read a letter from one of your Eureka Report subscribers responding to a call for the most stupid ideas. And this one was intriguing. The writer couldn't be with us today, but he called and has given us permission to read his story. What he has to say is this. Australians are now building the biggest houses in the world. An example next to me, double-storey, aspirational Nova French mansion, 12-foot ceilings at ground level, of some 800 square metres on an 800 square metre block. Five bedrooms, two kitchens, one for show, the other to work in, sweeping staircase, walk-in robes, big enough to be studies, etc., etc. Who is building it? Five foreign gentlemen who have borrowed the money and will no doubt sell it to another foreigner who might not even occupy it. The block is in a suburb 10 kilometres east of Melbourne, 200 metres from a tram line, shops, restaurants, offices, well positioned for schools, etc. The block could have been developed with two or even three houses, or as a minimum, a more modest single dwelling. Well, Alan, that letter's fascinating. It's a creative but scary way of getting property built.
Well, what we've seen since the global financial crisis is the banks have become much more wary about what they lend on. And so small businesses who are trying to get a shop fit out built, or buy a lathe even, or computer equipment, they can't get any money. And what the banks want to lend on is actually bricks and mortar on property. And so it is despite the fact that lending in general has tightened up a bit, the banks are a bit more choosy perhaps than they have been in the past since the GFC, they actually are quite keen to lend on housing. And so a lot of deals like this are getting through, and people who want to build a sort of a mansion such as this that the guys mentioned are being able to do it on spec, with the idea of just flogging it to somebody else later.
On ABC Radio National, this is By Design, and with me in the Trends and Products seat today is Alan Kohler, host of ABC's Inside Business and founder of Eureka Report. Now, By Design, we'd like to hear from you. Stealing Alan Kohler's idea here and adapting it, can you tell us about the most stupid housing and real estate developments you have seen recently? Perhaps you live near one. This is a chance to rant and tell us what's happening in your world. We'd love to hear from you by email or on our guestbook, abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. Alan, these changes are not just about money, of course. More money being available to most Australians means that there are big changes that run parallel with our lives. And much of this is about the big shifts in family life. You observe, really, that it's a shift in power from the parents to the children.
Well, look, I've just noticed, I've got teenage children, children in their 20s, and I've noticed over the generations that the way the children are being regarded and dealt with is changing. You know, I mean, when we were children, or especially when my parents were children, children were seen but not heard. They basically, were told to shut up. When I was a kid, we all shared bedrooms. We had small houses. Even large families got by on two or three bedrooms. And I think the first thing to go was the fact that kids had to share bedrooms. I mean, gradually, during, I think, the 70s and 80s, every child had to have their own bedroom. And then I think the big change, the biggest change of all, and I don't quite know when it happened, but it certainly has happened, that the children, as they got into their late teens, were allowed to have sex at home. Now, when I was a teenager, that wasn't happening. And even if you were allowed to, you couldn't do it because there was no privacy because the house was too small. But now the kids, they don't leave. So we left home at 18. I mean, everyone I know who's my age basically left home at 18.
To have sex?
Yes.
Yes.
Because you had to. And but now kids, my kids and everyone I know's kids, don't have to do that. They don't have to leave home to have sex. And so basically what happens is you end up in basically a shared house with adults. You know, all of our children are adults now, and they're at home with their friends, girlfriends and boyfriends, plus they have parties and so on. And all of a sudden, there's a huge desire for privacy from these other adults. You know, you have to have your own television. They have to have their television. You need to have rooms of your own in order to get away. I mean, they want to have their friends over and they need privacy. So I think there's a really strong cultural demand and desire for a larger house because, you know, we're all cohabiting now.
So it's a shared house now. It's families sharing a house across generations rather than buying their own unless they do it for investment.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, it's basically parents and kids, and then the kids left home as soon as they were even within reach of being an adult, you know, and we went off and did our own thing. But now, you know, you're sharing your house with other adults who happen to be your children. And so you've just got a bunch of adults, and just some of the adults don't do their own washing and own cooking. And well, I'm sure many of the listeners are identifying with this.
Well, it makes it a hell of a lot easier to take your washing home to mum. You just have to take it from one room to another.
That's right.
Alan Kohler, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Alan Kohler, whom you know from the ABC News and Inside Business. And write to us with your observations about how your world is changing. A chance to rant about the developments in your neighbourhood that you don't like. The big houses, the thoughtless developments. Go to our website, abc.net.au/rn/bydesign.